on a brief break in the preliminary hearing, afternoon session, day three. The prosecutor is putting on witnesses to fight a defense motion to suppress evidence that the police obtained prior to obtaining a search warrant at the O.J. Simpson house. We've been listening to Detective Mark Furman.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge along with Christina Staffo, and we continue our conversation with Jim Murray.
How shocked were you that they only took 4 hours to deliberate? Everybody thought this was going to be days upon days of deliberation, and then boom, we're back in 4 hours, and even to the point where Judge Ito said, all right, you know what, well, let's come back tomorrow and do this. The breakneck speed of the deliberations, it was just amazing.
Well, again, I think you have a jury that had been trapped for, you know, the better part of a year, and I think at that point they just wanted to get out of there. The verdict didn't really surprise me. I would have really understood, and I respect the verdict, even though I believe O.J. did it, you know? I mean, and by the way, I never spoke about that for years, my personal feelings, but I think that it only underscores how angry the jury was. If the jury feels like they're either being lied to or they're being put out in some fashion that is unreasonable or unfair, I think they're going to react, and I think that's what they did here.
So what do you think is the most memorable moment for you with all of those days of live coverage? Was there one moment that stood out for you?
Well, the glove incident was certainly big. You know, I mean, I remember...
Yeah.
I just remember the shock, you know? And every day I would go to work, and I'd say, nothing will surprise me. And you know what? There was about 3, 4, 5 weeks of DNA testimony. Boy, it was just brutal. I remember a moment where Robert Shapiro didn't do a lot of the cross-examination, but the coroner was on the stand for about, I think he was on the stand for 11 days or something like that.
Goodness.
And the jury saw life-size photos, autopsy photos. And I was among a group of 25 or so journalists who were invited by the court to view those photos. And it was horrific. I'm telling you, I wish I had not seen those photos. And the jury was able to see them. The TV audience was not. Now, what happened? The jury saw those photos for, say, 9 days. It only took Robert Shapiro 45 minutes to do a cross-examination and basically sit down. And so the jury's left with the feeling like, why were we looking at these for 2 weeks?
Right.
When it only took 45 minutes to cross-examine, that was a big moment, because I think that was another defining time for the jury to say, wait a minute, the defense can get rid of this in 45 minutes and it takes the prosecutor 2 weeks. Why are we going through this? So, you know, those two moments, the photos and then the glove, were just huge.
When all of this was over and the daily grind of covering the trial was completed for you, how did you feel? I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, you were so immersed in this for months upon end, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's the verdict, it's now over. What sort of level of withdrawal did you have to go through?
Well, I definitely had withdrawal. It was short-lived because there was a civil case that went on for three or so months.
Right.
And so we were then immersed in yet a different fiasco, right? But, I felt really badly for the Goldman family and for the Brown family after the verdict, because they had not gotten what they considered to be justice, and they were still in pain. So, this was, even though it was a TV show for the country,
mm-hmm.
it was entertainment in some bizarre way for the country,
mm-hmm.
this was a serious case of a double murder, and not just a double murder, but a vicious, in-your-face, personal
yeah.
double murder. But having done this so intensely for, I think I was on the air for about 1,000 hours live.
Wow.
Wow.
And then to turn that off. And I thought, wow, what do I do now? You know that feeling. It's like when you graduate from high school, you go, well, what am I going to do for
exactly.
the rest of my
now
life?
Exactly.
What
yeah.
do I do? It's crazy.
If I'm you, am I compelled to go sit in like traffic court on Thursday nights just so you can get some kind of buzz off that? You know, it's completely different.
I told my wife that I wanted to put a desk in our living room so that when the UPS guy came, I could at least interview him.
Is he delivering gloves by chance, honey? Please.
Can we order something, please?
Well, you know, we really appreciate your time. Jim explained to us he's trying to catch a plane soon, so he's actually sitting outside an airport. So we really do appreciate your time.
We really do.
And you know, it's funny. You're the second person from Inside Edition we've had on the show. We've had Deborah Norville, the anchor of Inside Edition, on, what, four times?
That's right.
And she is now the proud owner of a personalized America Weekend mug created by the co-host, Christina Staffo. And you know what this means, Jim? I think you're going to be getting a mug pretty soon. So.
Oh, I'm so excited. Listen, I was looking forward to this. I really was.
Oh,
this is great.
I'm very depressed that it's 20 years already.
I know.
Oh, I know.
We're all older now.
Yes.
I don't like that.
You know what, Jim? Imagine what it's going to be like 20 years from today and you're on the show and we're talking about the 40th anniversary of the verdict. So, but we really do appreciate your time. This has been terrific. Once again, you can catch Jim as the chief correspondent of Inside Edition. Check your local listings for time and channel. Jim Murray, thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Jim. Stay with us.
Bye-bye.
More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffel.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Where do business ideas come from? In this case, it came from bartending.
While in college, consultant Peter Cohen took a summer course at Harvard that got him a master's in mixology degree.
That's right, a master's on how to mix drinks.
His shaken, not stirred knowledge gave him an idea for a bartending business.
He spoke with people sponsoring on-campus parties and offered to buy the alcohol for the parties, take delivery, mix drinks, and return the extras.
It was an original idea that turned out to be profitable.
Business ideas can come from anywhere. Solve a problem, find people who will pay for it, test it out. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Oktoberfest. Who's this? What you ride?
Amy Paulson. My lovely gentleman behind me rode this phenomenal 77 Shovelhead all the way from Pennsylvania. You did great. Got here in a day and a half. Rode straight through. It's pretty impressive.
Today.
Good stuff.
On American Biker Minute.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute.
Rode this 77 Shovelhead all the way from Pennsylvania.
Long rides with the old man.
Well, he thinks he's Magellan, so we'll ride out for about 6 or 7 hours a day, hit a couple states, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Jersey. Hit them all. Couple bars, biker bars.
How's Biketoberfest going for you?
It is more than I expected. Today it's good. Nice breeze. Everything's happy.
Where next?
I think we're going to go up and hit the strip, see what's going on around here.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road.